Okay, welcome back.
Okay, now my mic's on.
Welcome back. We're going to sing Where's My... Somebody want to move the screen back? I don't know if they can do it here. To the songs. Thank you. Mansion Over the Hilltop is the first one. It's number 27, right there in the middle on the top. And then Draw Me Nearer is number 21, which isn't in the room.
Or I Am Thine, O Lord.
Or I Am Thine, O Lord. Yeah, you could say it either way.
Okay, Mansion Over the Hilltop's first.
I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that white land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion of my own. I got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over that hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Okay, either it's I Am Thine, O Lord, that's more or less what it says when you start off, or Draw Me Nearer. Yeah, we got a couple of different books that say the same words, but different, two different titles. So.
I am thy, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me.
But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed. blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I stand. When in prayer,
be my God,
friend's fault. Come near,
blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
Draw me near, blessed Lord,
to my precious bleeding side.
There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Good thing Jillian isn't here, we'd all be laughing. That was little comical there for a minute. Oops, sorry about that. I'm going to go run downstairs, and in the meantime, LG's going to share.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Today's children's story was provided again by our lovely Bonnie, and it is titled Three Trees. Once there were three trees on a hill in the woods. They were discussing their hopes and dreams when the first tree said, "Someday I hope to be a treasure chest. I could be filled with gold, silver, and precious gems. I could be decorated with intricate carving, and everyone would see the beauty." Then the second tree said, "Someday I will be a mighty ship. I will take kings and queens across the waters and sail to the corners of the world. Everyone will feel safe in me because of the strength of my hull." Finally, the third tree said, "I want to grow to be the tallest and straightest tree in the forest. People will see me on top of the hill and look up to my branches and think of the heavens and God and how close to them I am reaching. I will be the greatest tree of all time, and people will always remember me." After a few years of praying that their dreams would come true, a group of woodsmen came upon the trees. When one came to the first tree, he said, "This looks like a strong tree. I think I should be able to sell the wood to a carpenter," and he began cutting it down. The tree was happy because he knew that the carpenter would make him into a treasure chest. At the second tree, the woodsman said, "This looks like a strong tree. I should be able to sell it to the shipyard." The second tree was happy because he knew he was on his way to becoming a mighty ship. When the woodsman came upon the third tree, the tree was frightened because he knew that if they cut him down, his dreams would not come true. One of the woodsmen said, "I don't need anything special from my tree. I'll take this one," and he cut it down. When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, he was made into a feed box for animals. He was then placed in a barn and filled with hay. This was not at all what he had prayed for. The second tree was cut and made into a small fishing boat. His dreams of being a mighty ship and carrying kings had come to an end. The third tree was cut into large pieces and left alone in the dark. The years went by, and the trees forgot about their dreams. Then one day, a man and woman came to the barn. She gave birth, and they placed the baby in the hay in the feed box that was made from the first tree. The man wished that he could have made a crib for the baby, but this manger would have to do. The tree could feel the importance of this event and knew that it had held the greatest treasure of all time. Years later, a group of men got in the fishing boat made from the second tree. One of them was tired and went to sleep. While they were out on the water, a great storm arose, and the tree didn't think it was strong enough to keep the men safe. The men woke the sleeping man, and he stood and said, "Peace," and the storm stopped. At this time, the tree knew that it had carried the King of Kings in its boat. Finally, someone came and got the third tree. It was carried through the streets as the people mocked the man who was carrying it. When they came to a stop, the man was nailed to the tree and raised in the air to die at the top of a hill. 3 days later, when the first day of the week came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of the hill and be as close to God as was possible because Jesus had been crucified on it. The moral of this story is that when things don't seem to be going your way, always know that God has a plan for you. If you place your trust in Him, He will give you great gifts. Each of the trees got what they wanted, just not in the way they had imagined. We don't always know what God's plans are for us. We just know that His ways are not our ways, but His ways are always best. The end. Thanks for listening.
Prayer as we ask the Lord for blessing upon this service. Shall we kneel? For those who are able. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee. We thank You for Your blessings of the day. Nice sleep and rest, and may our bodies, our minds all be refreshed now as we open Your Word. Teach us Your truth. May the Holy Spirit guide and direct us. May it be a blessing to each of us. May it be an instruction, reproof when necessary, and instruction in righteousness as You tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Heavenly Father, teach us. May our hearts and our minds be open. May we not only know Thy will, but to live it. Thank You for these blessings, and I pray through Jesus our Lord and Savior that nothing can disturb this study today. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Brother Rick, a few months ago and others, after one of the our studies, was asking about the supporting of God's work. And how it would and what God's children are responsible. And so, by God's grace, He brought it back to my memory that Rick had asked that question, and we had discussed just a little bit that day. And by God's grace, we can through this week and other weeks that we'll be talking about it, because it does have several aspects of it. And we pray that this will help answer Rick's question as well as others. Some of us have known this truth for a long time, but like 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe verse 12, it says, even though you know these things, I bring them to remembrance to establish you even more so than you were before. And so for those who know this truth, I pray that it will establish you more. For those who are hearing it for the first time or just new to this understanding, that it will be a blessing to you and a help to understand what the truth is on concerning supporting of God's work. Let's open our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, and we'll read verse 30 through 32. Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 32. and all the tithe of the land, whether it be seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto a fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd, or the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, a tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So, I looked it up in the 1828 dictionary last night on the word tithe, which I really like as one of Webster's original dictionary. And it says, under the word tithe, it means tenth, one-tenth. Well, as I speak from time to time in the Spanish home churches as well, in the Spanish groups, I find that diezmo, the word diezmo, which the Spanish word is for tithing, that's what it means, one-tenth. So a lot of times I leave this these verses out at the beginning because that's what the word means, one-tenth. But in English, not everybody understands that tithe means one-tenth. So God, in his graciousness to us, who are of lack of understanding on what tithe means, he gives us a few verses in the Bible to explain it. Let's turn, in Genesis chapter 14, we're giving the story of Lot had moved down to Sodom and was living there, and the enemies of Sodom and Gomorrah came and attacked the cities and took Lot and the family and a number of other people in the spoilage of war. So Abraham heard about it, and he gathered his servants together, and they went and fought the enemy and returned Lot and all those things that were stolen. And on the way back, there was a person, King of Salem, Melchizedek, added his blessing to Abraham and what he had done, because Abraham gave one-tenth of what he had to Melchizedek. Now, in Genesis chapter 14, it says he gave some things to Melchizedek. But in Hebrews chapter 7 explains that it was one-tenth of what he gave to Melchizedek was the offering that he gave, is one-tenth. So Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 explains that. In Genesis chapter 14, it doesn't say a tenth, it says he gave his tithe. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 28. It talks a little bit about this as well. Genesis 28 and verse 22. Genesis 28 and verse 22. This is the story of Jacob had cheated his brother, of the birthrights. Yes, Jacob was wrong in what he did. He was trying to answer the blessing from the Lord, but not in the way the Lord wanted him to. So Jacob had to flee for his life. He's out in the area called Bethel. We read in verse 19, because it was the place where he met the Lord. He has some time by himself and the Lord, which sometimes we need that, don't we? Some time with the Lord to get our head straightened out, our thinking, Lord, what is truth? You know, those times like Jacob had at this time. So Jacob is here, and in verse 22, he makes God a promise. And it says in verse 22, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou gave me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Did Jacob ever fulfill that promise? Yes, we can read it later. I don't remember exactly where it is right now, but Jacob did fulfill that promise. I don't know if you've ever done a study on vows in the Bible and promises, especially to God. Yeah, it's quite an interesting study for anyone who would like to have a good study for the Sabbath when, or some other time okay, what do we do? What can we study? You study the word vow as you read through the Bible, get your concordance, go through all the different verses, and it is quite a study. So here in Genesis 28, verse 22, Jacob makes a vow to God that he would give him a tenth of all that God would bless him with. And he did fulfill that. Okay, let's turn to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. So I'll start with the 21. It starts with, it says, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service for which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." So God is setting a principle here, a standard that the children of Levi, which were set aside as God's ministers to minister in the sanctuary, that he would give them one-tenth as their inheritance. "For their service, and that they serve the Lord, and to the tabernacle of the congregation." Can we go a little further here in the chapter? And we can read in verse 26. "Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even the tenth part of the tithe." So here it says not only that the children of Israel, or now the children of God, are to support the work, the ministry, the work of the Lord, but also the ministers, the Levites in this verse, but the ministers today, yes, we are to give of our tithes as well. Okay, let's go on. There's a number of other verses that can go along with supporting of how much tithe that we are to give, but I think we've covered enough right now, and for further study, you can do it for yourself. Look under the word tithe, you can look under the word tenth, and it would help you as well as your regular reading, especially in the books of Moses. Talked a lot about it. So, okay, we understand that it is for us to give a tenth of our income, our increase of the Lord, whether it be of our what we grow in the field, if we have herds, which they did at the time. How about when we go to work, when we earn extra money, when we earn our income for the support of our family? Yes, it's the one-tenth of that as well. So what should our attitude be in paying our tithe? Okay, God, you say, I have to pay tithe, so I'll pay it, and you don't have it, but you say, I have to pay it, so I will. Is that a good attitude to have? As the children of Israel were called out of Egypt, which we were reading last night in our reading on the conference room here, about the children of Israel coming, you know, with the plagues of Egypt and them being called out. And before they were called out, God told them to go around and collecting the jewelry and fine things from their neighbors to take with them. And God impressed the neighbors to give it to them, which was very good. So what was all that jewelry for? For the children of Israel to have the finest jewelry and to wear it? Was that what it was for? I'm sure some of them were wearing it at the time because they had been in captivity for so many years, they didn't know what God said about wearing jewelry. So, but I believe God tells us in His Word why God had the children of Israel go around collecting of the jewelry and the fine linens and things like that that He wanted them to take. And we can read that in Exodus 35 and verse 21, what He really wanted them to gather that for. In Exodus 35, well, let's start with verse 5. Exodus 35 and verse 5. This is what the Lord is commanding. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering to the Lord of gold and silver and brass. And it continues on of what he was asking for. Why was God gathering this thing? Because you can read that in, as you read through Exodus, that God wanted them to build a sanctuary as a lesson of what Christ had done for them, His sacrifice, and to have it as a representative of the plan of salvation. So this is really what God wanted them to gather all those things for. He didn't have them gather their earrings to wear them, or the rings or the bracelets to wear them. God wanted them to turn them in when Moses called for them, and we read as a verse 5, with a willing heart to give so they could be melted down to be used in building the sanctuary for the service of God. And then we come over also to verse 21 of Exodus 35. And they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And God gave wisdom for some people to do different duties in the making of the sanctuary, of the draperies, of the work of the metals, all in the wood, and all those different things. God gave them wisdom to be able to put it together. But what we're reading here is when God asked them to give, were they give it grudgingly? Well, God, if you have to, man, I really like that necklace around my wife's neck, and I really hate to give that one up. Was that an attitude? No. It says, whose heart lifted up everyone who had his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. What a good attitude. What a good example for us. Christ even tells us the same thing as we look in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, he is getting ready to send the 12 out to do their missionary work. And in verse 8 it says, this is what God, Christ, sent them to do. To heal the sick. To cleanse the lepers. To raise the dead. To cast out devils. Then, I believe, this is a very important thing for us. Freely ye have received, freely give. So only those things that are mentioned in this verse, as God has given us the ability to help people when they're sick, we should give freely to help those who are lost their loved ones. Yes, God's people, I believe, will in the last days, the dead will be raised. I believe people will be healed instantly. In some cases, as I've studied this out, I don't believe it will be something that we produce in the local newspaper or spread it around the world of the different miracles that happen. Because we remember that Satan also has his miracles going on. And I believe God's miracles that are happening will be more within a small group of people. But as God has blessed us, it tells us here in verse 8, freely ye have received, freely give. I think that's a principle God wants us to give. We can read that in Luke 17, I believe it is, where the rich man and Lazarus, why was the rich man cursed? Because he wasn't giving of what he had. Lazarus was a poor beggar. He didn't have much. Lazarus would drop a few crumbs. The rich guy would drop a few crumbs once in a while for him or something like that. But he had the ability to help him, to help change his way. There's chapters in Ministry of Healing, I believe, that we'll be reading as we continue on in the book Ministry of Healing on how to help the worthy poor, especially of ourselves. Especially of God's people. How do we do that? The whole lesson there. Let's turn over to read what Paul has to say about us giving and our attitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Says every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth what does God love here? A cheerful giver. As we purpose in our heart, God, I want to support your work. I see the need. Even if I don't know all of what's going on in your work, I know it needs to be supported. Because that's how God's work goes around the world. By people, his people, God's people, giving to support his work. Oh, God could do it a whole lot better and a whole lot different. But God in his wisdom has called us, congregations, ministers, each of his people, to help in support of the work. What's our attitude here that Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7? For a purpose in our heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but for God loveth a cheerful giver. All the way through his word, God explains these things. In Ezra chapter 1, Ezra, I don't know if any of you have read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah lately. Tremendous lessons in those books. They're small. They're a little ways before Psalms. And I would encourage you to read those because there's a lot in the lessons for us today in Ezra and Nehemiah. And leaving Babylon and going to the city that God has called them. What lessons are even some prophecy in there in Ezra that is very important to us today. As Cyrus, in Ezra chapter 1, Cyrus, the king of the Medes, was calling, God had impressed upon him to call his God's children back to Jerusalem to rebuild it, to start over. Hopefully they'd learned their lessons. God was going to give them an opportunity. The time had expired for them to be in Babylon, and it was time to go home. And as Cyrus signed the decree, God impressed him to sign the decree of everyone on the other side of the river would give a willing offering to whatever Ezra would need. In Nehemiah, when he was called to go, Darius, I believe it was, would also, he signed a letter to all those of the managers of the kingdom as Nehemiah would pass through, that they would give willingly of what Nehemiah needed. Now, was Nehemiah to be selfish and gather more than what he needed? Or Ezra? The others that led out in the groups that left, because some people, some reason, God's people didn't want to leave Babylon. They were comfortable. Oh, man, I got myself a good house. I got myself a good job. My children are all kinds of excuses. They didn't want to leave and go back home. But praise the Lord, there were some that did, and they stood for the Lord, and the Lord worked for them. We can read in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, about the widow's mite. She didn't have much. There were people coming to the temple, especially of the Pharisees and the rabbis and the scribes and the lawyers. They were provided a very good living. Some of it was a blessing from God, and some of it was because of their conspiring, their cheating, their lying, their doing wrong. But they would bring their big bags of money in much pomp and circumstance and lots of display and bring it to the priest and to set it before them. And look what I have, and look what I did, and look what I'm doing for the Lord. But that's not the attitude God calls us to do. But there was a widow. She didn't have much. She had two mites, the Bible tells us. Just a couple pennies. But she was willing to give of her blessings to the Lord. And Christ said that she gave more than all those who gave those big bags of offering. To the rich, should the rich support God's work? Yes, no question. How about the poor, like the widow? Should they support God's work? No question. We're given examples of both. And with a willing heart, free will offerings, a tenth of all our increase. Brothers and sisters, God's work needs to be supported. There's no question in my mind. The Macedonian call is being given to us who teach the message. Can we go? Can we preach? How can we get the message around the world without God's people supporting it? We try to share from time to time some of the experiences that some of us have, but it's ongoing. We just shared just a little bit of what blessings that God has called us to do. So I pray that, brothers and sisters, that as God calls you to help support the work of the Lord, that He will tell you what He wants you to do. How much? To whom? I ask every month, Lord, where do you want me to send my tithes and offerings? Lord, brothers and sisters, God's ministers all over the world, they all need support. We all do. Each of us. But who does the Lord want you to send your tithes and offerings? It's a blessing and it's a responsibility. Whether you have what the widow had, the two mites, just a few pennies to send, or you, the Lord has blessed you a hundredfold in this life and eternal life, it's a responsibility. Some people don't want the responsibility of being rich because it's a responsibility of giving $1,000 in your tithe instead of $10. But to me, as I read, it's a responsibility either way. Look how God has blessed us. He wants us to bless His work. And it is a blessing to us to be able to do that. It's a blessing that we can receive, as Malachi chapter 3 tells us. It's a blessing to God's people to be able to support His work. As we meet next time, we will discuss on the responsibility or to whom we give the tithe. Where should we give our tithe? There's all kinds of people out there, ministries of God. Are they teaching the truth? Are they not? We'll go into that a little more next time as we meet. Shall we kneel for prayer as we end the service at this time? Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee. We thank You for Your truth and Your word. We thank You for answers to our prayers. We thank You for the responsibility, the blessing that we can receive by supporting Your work. We give a tenth of our time as well as to give free will offerings. We pray that You'll be with our attitude. We pray that You'll teach each of us where You want us to give our tithes and our offerings. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these blessings. We pray that the earth will be lightened with Your glory and their work go forward because of this blessing that we receive and we can give. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to run back upstairs and join the family in song, so be right back.
Okay, we're going to sing, There Shall Be Showers of Blessings, or Blessing, well, the song says Blessing, but we always say Blessings, so if you can sing along. I don't know if it's in the room 558, yep, there it is. There shall be showers of blessings.
There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, land of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord.
grant to us now a refreshing. Come now and honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen. You can kneel. We'll close out in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us in your scriptures with an understanding as to what we do or what we should do to help further the work, to help keep your truth going forward throughout the earth. The enemy likes to attack. There's preachers out there today that are telling people that you don't have to tithe anymore. It's over with in the New Testament, and that's just a bold-faced lie. But they're doing it to stop the work. Because those of us that are in the ministry full-time, if people don't tithe, we got to get a job. And so the work gets slowed. It won't stop, but it will get slowed. Thank you for giving us the courage to stand firm, however you want us to do this. We trust you. We lift up those that are on our prayer list that are in need, whether it be physical, spiritual, financial blessings. We know that you have them in the palm of your hand, and you will bless them in accordance with your will. We lift up Maestro. We lift up Kitty. She hasn't made it in the last few times, and we're praying that everything's okay with her. We're praying for her loved ones as well. We lift up Randy's parents. For whatever reason there may be, that they need prayer. And there's many unspoken requests, too, that we have received that you know about, Father. So bless them. Bless those that do help us do the work, too, that already understand the truth about tithing, and also understand not to help those ministries that actually help create the image of the beast in regards to that government thing that all the ministries, or not all of them, but most of them today are doing with the 501c3. And so open your children's eyes. Let them do some research and check out who it is that they should be sending their money to so that your truth goes forward and not the enemy's. In Jesus' name, amen.